Okay, hello everybody. It's July 7th, 2015, and this is the IACT IMDHA virtual chapter, and we're meeting tonight from points and places all over the entire United States and Canada, and we have a great guest for you tonight. We're going to be talking with Ann King. Ann King is a successful hypnotherapist. I'm going to tell you all about her in just a minute, who's been running a full-time practice for a long time. She's going to teach us about working with allergies. There's a handout for the process that describes the steps of the process that she's using. So we want to let you know, and if you've got a pencil, you might want to write this down, that if you'd like to get a copy of that handout, you can email me. I'm in Florida, and I'm a hypnotist with a great outlook, so my email address is easy to remember because it's flhypno@outlook.com. And or you can email Ann King at, well, and this email address will be quite surprising to you, at Ann King, by the way, that's Ann with an E, Ann King, at hypnosisclasses.com. And either one of those will get you a copy of the handout, so you'll be able to refer back to it after the call is over. This call is also being recorded, and what that means is that it will be edited out tonight. That is, we'll take out those 15 minutes of gathering comments and a little chit-chat that we had before we started, and it'll be placed on the IACT IMDHA forum. So if you're members of IACT IMDHA, you can go to the forum and you can get a copy of it there. And if any of you else would like to know how to get a copy of it, you can write me also at flhypno@outlook.com, and I'll direct you to a link where you may be able to download what we talked about tonight. So with that said, I want to tell you I am excited to have Ann on the call with us tonight because, well, she's got a rich background. She's a great lady. I've known her for a number of years, and I always really appreciate and enjoy seeing her at the conferences and things. She is sought after as a teacher and trainer there. But she's a professional hypnotist and a hypnosis instructor who has been in a successful full-time practice since 1986. And in addition to seeing clients, she owns a state-licensed school where she teaches basic and intermediate and advanced hypnosis for certification, and she also teaches CEU classes for practicing hypnotists. And she facilitates a number of classes and workshops, and one of the things that I think was really cool is, as I noticed, a bunch of her live classes and workshops are also offered streaming and as video workshops. So if you have an interest in those things, you might want to ask Ann about that as well. She's been quite involved in metaphysics since the mid-80s, and this is cool to me. She founded the Unity Church of Bourne in her hometown in the Texas Hill Country in 1995. So, and she's on the board as well, by the way, of IMDHA. So we're really happy to have you on the call, Ann, and welcome. It's great to have you here.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And I did say that I kind of warned you in advance that there was a question that I want to ask, and it's my 2015 question before we actually get into the content about allergies. My 2014 question was that I had been asking everybody what it was that first got their interest in hypnosis. And now my 2015 question is just a little bit different. What I'm interested in is what is it about hypnosis that holds your interest and that keeps you involved in it?
You know, I've been doing this for almost 30 years, and it never ceases to just blow me away. It is, the human mind is just amazing, and what I have loved about this field is it's not stagnant at all. You don't learn something, and that's the end of it. There is an opportunity to continually learn, to continually grow, to continually expand, and I am forever a student, so I guess that's what holds me here.
There you go. Lovely. That's a great answer. One of the best that I've had so far. So thanks for sharing that with us. Now, the thing is, you know, as I mentioned, I'm an NLP person and you're an NLP person, and I really like that, and I really find that so cool because there's some processes in NLP that a lot of our members have gotten sort of a little glancing look at NLP. They learn something about eye accessing cues or something about representational systems or submodalities and little pieces And there's so much richness and diversity in this field, and processes developed for just about everything that you can think of. And when you said to me that you wanted to present the allergy process, I thought that was just so great, because it's one of the ones that a lot of people aren't aware of. I know that you've been presenting it at the conferences again and again. I always see it associated with your name when I think of IFDA and DHA, at least. So we're really glad that you're here to share that with us. And I think just without further ado, the easiest way to manage this is for me to just kind of let go and sit back and invite you to tell us about the NLP allergy process.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I do want to correct you. I'm not an NLP practitioner at all. It's hard to be in the hypnosis business for 30 years, though, and not pick up quite a bit of it. I think all hypnotists use various NLP techniques. And, of course, if you are going to workshops and studying all the time, you're exposed to a lot of NLP. And this is an NLP technique. I learned this technique at a hypnosis conference in 1998, 17 years ago. And it was a very short presentation by two NLP practitioners, Henry Favars and Mary Lou Seavey. And I was just absolutely fascinated with this thing. My understanding is that this technique first appeared in Robert Dilts' book called Beliefs, and then Tim Halbaum and Susie Smith, that were part of the Andreas team, simplified it, and it does show up in the Andreas book, Heart of the Mind, as well.
That's right.
When I learned it from Henry and Mary Lou, they had taken some basic stuff and revised it a little bit, and one of them had broken it into 9 steps, and one of them had broken it into 11 steps. And after I took it and started fooling with it, I actually broke it into 26 steps, but they're very detailed. And plus, I added hypnosis because it didn't have hypnosis the way I was taught. You mentioned the outline, which is just a 1-page outline of 26 steps. And as you said, that will be on the IMDHA and IAC sites when you get back from your honeymoon. If anybody
even sooner
wants
than that, I think it'll. Pardon me for interrupting, but even sooner than that, I think it'll be there tomorrow morning. I'm going to have a chance to edit this tonight.
So. Right, and you said you've got it there, and I've got it here. So if anybody wants to email, not during the call, but immediately after the call, I don't mind shooting it out for anybody that wants it. But when I go through it, I will say this is step 1, step 2, step 3. So for the people that don't have it, they can keep up. And that's what I wanted to do, is go through each step, and I'm going to do that in a minute. But I wanted to tell you my story about this. After I learned this little process or got my first taste of it at that conference and began to experiment with it, I decided that if I really wanted to get a handle on this, I had to do a lot of sessions. So I put out an email to my list saying 3 sessions to eliminate an allergy, and I did back-to-back sessions all day long for 3 days for free with the agreement that they would give me honest feedback on this technique. And Henry and Mary Lou told me when they taught it at that conference in an hour or 90 minutes or whatever it was, that they had about an 80% success rate with it. And when I did those back-to-back sessions, every single person was successful with it. And now, right, 17 years later, I have lots and lots of testimonials from clients. I have students that come up here and learn this in a half a day or a 1-day class that have written me telling me they eliminated an allergy when we broke into groups and they did a practice session. And I have people that have learned it at conferences and places I've taught it that have written me back about their success with clients. It just is a most amazing technique. It works so very easily. And like I said, I broke it into 26 steps, but when I teach anything or explain anything, I consider it really guidelines for anybody. You know, you have to take things and make them your own, and this process is very forgiving. It's really very easy, and you're welcome to tweak it and change it and do whatever you want to with it. In fact, it was originally called 1-Session Allergy Elimination, but it works with a counterexample of the allergy, and now I understand they're calling it the counter example process or something like that, and they've been experimenting with it on autoimmune diseases. They work with fears using this same process. So I think it can be used for a lot of things. The one caller talked about a client she was working with that had mast cells, something or other, that sounded like an immune thing to me. But I say take it and experiment with it on all kinds of problems because I just think it's an amazing technique. So I'm going to go through the steps. Before I do, there are some things you want to know, and I want to refer back to our basic definition of hypnosis from 50 years ago or however long it was, desire plus belief plus expectation. Those are three very important things, and of course you would hope that anybody working on allergies has really got the desire to overcome them, but you know there can be secondary gain with anything. The belief and expectation, though, I feel like that is such an important part of this process. It is your job to build that belief and expectation. And one of the things I was encouraged when I learned it from Mary Lou and Henry was to offer a money-back guarantee. When you offer a money-back guarantee, that does a lot for building that expectation that it's going to work. I have a lot of testimonials, and I use those too. And I always say with everything you do that the most important thing you do is the pre-talk. And it's not just the explanation of hypnosis and how it works and that. It is the pre-talk about whatever you're going to be doing with them, in this case, the pre-talk on allergies. So when I was taught by Mary Lou and Henry, I was taught, and what I've read, is you only do one allergy at a time during the process. You can do the process back-to-back, and you could do several allergies in a row, but it's a different process each time. Michael Elder will argue with me a little bit about that, but that's how it was presented to me, and that's what I've done. A client can learn after just a time or two of being with you how to do this on their own, and one of the things I made for my clients is just a guided little session where they can just pause and get to where they need to be and then continue and pause and continue. One of the things you need to remember about a lot of people that are allergic, though, is that many people are multiply allergic. They are allergic to several different things, and a lot of those things may create the same symptoms. So for that reason, especially if you're doing a money-back guarantee, you want to have them bring in an allergy test with them. I like it to be dated within 3 months, but you know, you might say 6 months. It doesn't really matter a whole lot. And, of course, if they feel like the technique did not work for them and they still have the allergy, then the requirement is that they be retested just with a little scratch test 72 hours to 10 days later after the session to make sure that they're not having symptoms to something else that you didn't work on. So, and what was suggested is that the allergy test always be either a skin or scratch test or a blood test as opposed to kinesiology. But that, again, that's your call. I will tell you that I've always offered a money-back guarantee. I have done hundreds of these sessions. Almost no one asked me for that money-back guarantee because most people don't want to have to get a current allergy test or go back and pay for another one if they felt like it didn't work. But you can use this process on any type of allergy. It can be environmental allergies, which are things primarily that are inhaled, I guess. It can be food, things that are ingested, including medication, skin allergies like poison ivy and that type of thing, and also allergies that are deadly like peanut allergies or bee stings and that type of stuff. But, of course, if you're working with someone that has a deadly allergy that goes into anaphylactic shock, you do want them to be tested before they ever expose themselves to the allergy, especially without an EpiPen. So the first session for this, I usually allow about an hour, and that includes my allergy pre-talk in the session and then the follow-up with the client. That does not include the pre-talk I would do about hypnosis in general and how it works, effect, and I talk about using the recordings I give them as follow-up and that type of thing. But it takes me usually 45 minutes to an hour to move through it the very first time. After the first time, when they're used to the process, if they come back again in that same amount of time, we could do the process twice and get two allergies back-to-back. The next time, we could probably do three or four because they get so used to moving through it that they can do that really quickly. And again, they can learn to do it themselves. I will say that your clients, the best clients, are going to be those that have that visualize well, although you can work with left-brain people and you can change your wording, but that needs to be included in the pre-talk before you ever start the session. And the other thing I will say about this is don't think you're going to turn allergists on to this wonderful technique and they're going to love it because they will not use it and they will not use you. That was told to me, and I kind of didn't really believe it, but now I do. So, you know, they make their money from people having allergies and repeat clients. And if you can wipe out their allergies in one session, you know, allergists just really, really aren't interested in it. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
It's bad business.
It is. It's bad for business. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to go through the 26 steps in order and explain them all a little bit. And one of the things when you sit down with your client, you do want to take notes. There are things as you go through the session with them that you're going to need to be writing down. And before you start the session, you need to be very clear about the allergy. You need to know what it is. And even though I said most of my clients do not even ask for the money-back guarantee because they don't want to be tested or anything, they are very clear about the allergy they have. Things are seasonal, and up here it's cedar fever and mold at certain times of the year. But most clients know what they have. I did have one lady call me, and she told me she was allergic to everything. She had found me on the Internet, and she wanted to schedule right away and come in, and I tried to narrow down, you know, what allergy we would be working on and stuff. She said, I don't know. I'm allergic to everything. She had never been tested. She didn't see any pattern with when cedar was high or mold was high. And so I refused to take her until she did get an allergy test. And she called me up, and she was not allergic to anything. She had chronic rhinitis or something like that, and it had nothing to do with allergies at all. So even though I did work with her, not use this process for her because it wasn't applicable. So, one allergy at a time. And the first thing you do, the number one on the list of 26 is establish rapport, and that includes the allergy pre-talk you're going to do with them. And I'm not going to go through it right now with you, but I'm going to go through it when I reiterate it in the process. But basically, you're going to explain to them how their immune system works, and with that in mind, what causes an allergic reaction, which is their immune system making a mistake. All this information that I'll talk about when we go through that step, you can find on the Mayo Clinic site about allergies. So establishing rapport includes your allergy pre-talk. For me, it includes testimonials. It includes me presenting them with the agreement and having them sign off on it. And the agreement is primarily for money back, for them to get their money back. But it is also, there's a box to check on the agreement that says, I am not interested in the money back guarantee. I didn't bring an allergy report or whatever. So that I have that on file so later they don't come back because I advertise it with money-back guarantee saying, well, I went through it and it didn't work and I want my money back. I have something saying that they've waived that. So that's all in establishing rapport and, you know, getting comfortable with your client getting comfortable with you. And then the second step is to induce hypnosis, and you can do that any way you want to do it that's effective for you. Of course, right and left brain people, it may be a little bit different, the techniques you use, but you're going to have them at an alpha level because you are going to be talking to them through this process, so they cannot go very, very deep. And the third step is to find out how they relate to the allergy, and you might ask, you might say something like, tell me about your situation with the allergy, and just leave it open-ended. You might ask things like, what really bothers you about it, or do you handle an episode, or how do you feel about it? When you're asking them those things, a lot of times they will talk about their symptoms, which is not really what you were going for, but that's okay. You take notes and you write down as you go. Number four is to have them experience their reaction to the allergen. Now, I will tell you that when I put this out to my group and people are writing me and getting the outline, I did get a question from George, and he said, you wrote to have them experience the reaction to the allergen. I assume you mean in an associated state. This could be very scary, and don't you worry about it. But really, you can do it very mildly. Remember what happens when you have an allergic reaction. Tell me about it. Tell me how your body reacts to it. You can watch them for signs, and you don't really have to have them revivicate or completely be there. And if it was an allergy that was deadly to them, of course you would probably put a disclaimer in there that they will remember and talk about their symptoms without having any of the physical responses. Ask what happens in their body when they have the allergic reaction, and what you're looking for here is the symptoms. And for a lot of people, their eyes will water or itch, or there may be something with their ears, whether it's itchy or ringy, nasal things like stuffiness or runny nose or nasal drip down the back of their throat. Their throat may have some symptoms like being sore, scratchy. They may talk about aches or pains in their body or their balance being affected or body temperature or energy level. They may talk about their skin, getting itchy or hives or whatever. They may talk about their breathing, stomach, any kind of nausea or queasiness. They may talk about mental effects, like they get kind of scattered in their thinking, or they get irritable, or they get dizzy or kind of faint, or it affects their memory or whatever. At any rate, you want them to tell you what happens when they have an allergic reaction. That's number four. And you are writing that down. And if they mention, my eyes water and I start sneezing and then I get this post-nasal drip, you might go through some of the things I said before and just ask them, do you notice anything with your ears or any aches and pains or anything with balance, et cetera, et cetera. But you write down their symptoms. Number five is to recall past experiences with allergy. And for that, I will usually ask them to me their most recent experience. Say, for instance, that we were using the example of smoke being what they're allergic to. And their symptoms might have been it makes their eyes burn and water. It makes their nose stuffy. Their throat feels scratchy and they feel a little nauseous. Maybe those were the symptoms. And then when I ask about a recent experience, maybe they were talking about when the most recent time was a family reunion and they had a barbecue pit stoked up, and I was very careful about staying downwind from it. But when it was time to eat and I went over into the general area to get my hot dog or hamburger or whatever it was, all of a sudden the wind shifted and I just got this huge gust of smoke right in my face, and immediately my eyes started burning, blah, blah, blah. I might also, in wanting to know experiences, ask them what the worst experience they ever had was. And they might say, in this case, they were driving in the country or in a foreign country or whatever, and they started going through this area where everybody was burning their fields and you just couldn't get away from the smoke, and maybe you had something over your mouth and you still feel like you're breathing smoke. And you can ask for a third experience, or sometimes I even ask if they can remember the very first that it ever happened, and maybe the first time in this case was as a teenager on a camping trip, out trip or something around a campfire. So you have them describe these experiences, and as they describe the experiences, you're writing these down. You want to remember that it was a family reunion, that it was driving in the burning fields, that it was a campfire. You want to remember that, and you want them to reiterate their symptoms, too, their eyes burning and the nasals. The number six is to break the thought pattern, and those of you that are NLPers, you know all that means is redirecting their attention elsewhere. What I do is simply ask them to repeat to me out loud their phone number, including the area code. And they stop and they start thinking about it and trying to say it. And, you know, after a while, they get it all out. So that was number six, to break the thought pattern. Number seven is to re-educate the subject. And when I do that, I'm going to go back over the part of the pre-talk that I had with the client about how an allergy is created. And so I would say to them, you remember, before we started, I talked a little bit about your immune system, how it is a part of the mind-body system. And the immune system's job is to always be on guard to protect the body from anything that's harmful. And the immune system is composed of a number of different cells, and each cell has a different function. There's the macrophages, which are octopus-like white blood cells, and it's their job to search out foreign elements that enter the body and get rid of them. And if they find a non-dangerous foreign substance, they just grab a hold of it, ingest it, and eliminate it. But if the macrophages come across a foreign element that they think might be dangerous, instead of ingesting it, they pinch off a little bit of it and send up a flag, send it up a flagpole, so to speak, is a good metaphor for it. And it's got part of this element attached. And this alerts the second set of cells, which is the helper T cells. And they're called in when they see the macrophage flag. They rush in. They have little markers on their side that are kind of like little keyholes. And if these little keyholes or markers match this element that the macrophage has pinched off, then the helper T cells say, yes, this is dangerous, and they call in the killer T cells. You can think of the killer T cells as an army coming in with grenades that are full of histamine, and they're just bombing this foreign element with histamine.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when you have an allergic reaction is your immune system has made a mistake. Because if I'm talking to my client, I would say, because you know that really smoke is not really dangerous to the physical body. And then number eight is to check for benefits and secondary gain. So the question I like to use is, how will your life be different when this allergy has been eliminated? And then I just let them talk, and I write down the benefits, and I make a little note of those as well. You know, well, I won't have to be scared of barbecue pits anymore. I won't have to worry about traveling and always looking over my shoulder and trying to make sure I have damp rags I can put over my face, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
What you are also listening for besides the benefits, though, and writing those down, you are listening for anything negative that could be a sign of secondary gain. If I don't hear anything negative, I will ask. I will say, is there anything at all you can think of that's maybe negative or anything you would miss if you didn't have this allergy? And if they can come up with something, you've got to pay attention to it, because that could be something that would be secondary gain, a reason for keeping the allergy. And actually, in their agreement that I have them sign, and I go over it with them, I don't just hand them a paper and say sign it, I go over it with them. It actually says in there that if anything comes up in the session that needs attention before we can continue with the process, I will stop the process at that point, I will deal with it, and if it is something that will prevent us from going back to the process at this particular time, they understand that that's what we have to work on. So, at
you know,
any rate,
it occurred to me, Ann.
Uh-huh.
Sorry for interrupting, but it occurred to me when you mentioned this earlier, you were talking about the guy at the family barbecue. And I couldn't help but think, oh, my gosh, if I got rid of this allergy, I would have to go to family barbecues, and now I've got a not got an excuse to stay away.
Yeah, I have had secondary gains come up before, and luckily I've been able to deal with them just right then very quickly, and we can move on. But sometimes you can't. You know, it just depends on what it is. So, okay, so A was check for benefits and secondary gain, and you're going to write the benefits down, too, because you want to have those for your final suggestions. And then number 9 is the important part of this. You are going to have them come up with a counterexample. You ask them to think of a substance that is similar to smoke, but a substance that they are not allergic to. You don't really want to give them examples. You want it to come from them. Now, every once in a while, somebody gives me an example that is totally different than the substance that we're talking about. And sometimes then I might prompt them, you know, but smoke, you know, it's there's not really particles to it at all. It's more like air. What can you think of that's more like air? You know, something along those lines. And for some people that don't have an imagination, they actually can't come up with anything. And if they can't, I begin to throw out a lot of things. I don't want to throw out one thing. I want to throw out several things and see if anything resonates with them. But most people can come up with something that's similar. So say for our example of smoke, I ask my client to think of a similar type of substance, something that's very similar to smoke, but you're not allergic to. And they think for a minute, and they say, well, the smoke that comes off dry ice, I'm not allergic to that type of smoke. I think that's an excellent counter. So number 10, then, is to recall some past experiences with the counter element. And this is where you begin to anchor those feelings of being with something similar to smoke that does not cause the allergic reaction. So I might say to them, what was the most recent time you can remember being around dry ice smoke? And they said, well, the most recent time was just last Christmas. We went to a party, and they had a giant punch bowl, and they had dropped some little chips of dry ice in there, and it was creating a little bit of smoke, and it was very beautiful, and it was all lit. And so I might say to them, tell me about that. Were you standing close to the punch bowl? Yes, I was standing right there. I was getting punch out of it. And could you kind of feel that smoke? And, yeah, it's a little bit cool and this and that. Does it have an odor? No, not really, blah, blah. And while they are experiencing that, I will anchor that feeling by reaching out and touching their wrist and holding it. Now, I will tell you that in the pre-talk I do with the allergies stuff, I do let them know what we're going to be doing in the session and that we will reach a point where I do touch their wrist and hold it for an extended amount of time. After we've gone through the experience with the punch bowl, I will let go of that anchor, and I will say, can you remember another experience that you had, maybe when there was a lot of this dry ice smoke? And they say, yes. As a matter of fact, I took the grandkids, and we went to the haunted house on Halloween, and they had the dry ice smoke all over. You know, it was all on the floor, and you were walking through it. And again, I ask them about their experience, how they felt. I will ask them how their eyes felt, how their nasal passages, if they were breathing all right, how their throat felt, how their stomach felt, because those were all symptoms that they mentioned earlier. And as they're telling me and going through, you know, their eyes feel fine, et cetera, I reach out and I anchor that again. When we get done with that, I let go of the anchor. I ask them for one more example. And they say, well, a long time ago, in school, we did a school play, and in part of the play, there was a walking through a graveyard, and they used dry ice to make that low smoke on the ground. And again, we go through that, and again, I anchor. But this time, the last time I anchor, I do not remove my hand anymore. And in fact, if you wanted to just anchor on the first one and keep it, you could, but you're going to hold that anchor for an extended amount of time. So that was 10, to recall past experiences with the counter element. And then 11, you're just going to do some hypnotic patter and reinforce the proper response to the non-dangerous element. That's right. You know, your subconscious mind has memories of being around dry ice smoke, and this memory has been made available to you right now, and your whole body remembers this easy experience of being in the dry ice smoke, and dry ice smoke in your eyes and nasal passages felt fine. In fact, you felt completely fine physically, so you just patter a little bit like that. Then comes the I guess, actual process. You create a visual dissociation. And again, people that do NLP know there are a lot of ways to do this, and I've seen many, many of them over the years. But the way that Mary Lou and Hank taught me was to imagine a plexiglass shield. Mary Lou just said, imagine a plexiglass shield in front of you, on one side of you and me, and it goes all the way down in the ground and all the way in either direction and all the way through the ceiling. And Hank used it almost like a tube, so you were in the middle of this donut shield or whatever, and it doesn't matter. But you're going to patter, and you're going to get them to imagine this shield, and it's keeping myself and them and everything on this side of the shield separate from whatever is out there on the other side of this plexiglass shield. But it's clear and you can see through it, and you might ask them how thick they think it is. And, you know, I've heard anything from an eighth of an inch to 3 inches thick. And you're pattering a little bit about this. This shield is like the membrane of a human cell. It's semi-permeable. And what that means is, the only thing that can come through the shield from the other side is what you want to bring in. Everything else on the other side of this shield is separate from me and you on this side. But if you decide to let something through, this shield is semi-permeable, like the membrane of a cell, and the cell decides what to let through, and you can decide what to let through as well. So 12 was to create this dissociation with, in some way, and we're using a plexiglass shield. 13 is to reinforce the feeling of being with the counter element. Remember, the counter element is dry ice smoke. So you might say something like, as you sit here with me, as your body and the cells of your body retain the memory of being in that dry ice smoke, you feel comfortable because that smoke is harmless and it's easy to be around, and you're safe and comfortable when you're around it. 14.
And you're keeping hold of that wrist anchor, right?
Still holding on to it. You're still holding on to it. We're going to hold on to it for a long, long time. So
great.
14,
great.
Actually it's number 21 on the list, is to release the anchor. So we're on 14. So 14 is creating a visualization of the proper response to the counter example or the non-dangerous example. So you have your client imagine now looking through the plexiglass out there on the other side of the shield. There is another you, another Mary, and she is at a party with a punch bowl that's full of dry ice flakes, and she's getting punch, and the dry ice smoke is all around her, and can you imagine that? Can you imagine that other Mary on the other side of this shield having that experience just like you had with the punch bowl and the dry ice smoke? And yes, I can. And just notice how her body's responding, reacting. She's comfortable. It's all natural. It's easy. Her eyes feel fine. She's breathing fine. Her throat is good. Her stomach. That other Mary out there, you know her. You know things about her. You know how she feels. And you know the way her body reacts to dry eye smoke, just like yours does. And you watch her. She's got a way to respond to her environment. And you see how she operates completely comfortably being around dry ice smoke, and her immune system knows exactly how to deal with with dry eye smoke, and yours knows that too. So 15 is you are going to gradually bring into the visualization the presence of allergens. So now, Mary, as you imagine that, Mary, on the other side of this shield, with the punch bowl and the dry eye smoke, imagine that scene beginning to shift and change. And imagine that, Mary, now in another situation. Imagine that, Mary, on the other side of the shield, is at a family reunion with the barbecue pit. And they're grilling and there's smoke coming off the pit. And she goes to get her burger or hot dog. And the winds change, and all of a sudden, that Mary on the other side of that shield is engulfed in smoke from the barbecue pit. But look, notice that that Mary out there on the other side of the shield has the exact same response to the barbecue smoke as she had to the dry ice smoke. That Mary out there on the other side of the shield, her eyes feel fine, she's breathing fine, her throat fine, she's not nauseous. Notice how her body is reacting. It's perfectly, her body's reacting normally. Imagine you could know her thoughts. And she doesn't have any worry or fear about having a little smoke blow on her. She's just enjoying the experience. She's laughing, she's getting a burger, she's fully present in the experience of what's going on without any thought or fear about that smoke from the barbecue pit. Number 16 is to ask for verification of the subject's desires. Tell me, Mary, is that how you want to respond to barbecue smoke or any other type of smoke? And of course, you get a yes for that. And 17 is to reinforce the education, the proper response. So you say something like, that Mary out there, she has an appropriate immune response to smoke. Her immune system response is natural. It's a healthy response because when her macrophage cells encounter smoke of any kind, whether it's barbecue smoke or burning fields or campfire smoke, when they encounter these little foreign objects, they just gobble them down, eliminate them without any difficulty. They just get rid of them. That Mary out there has an immune system that knows enough so that she can just be present in any experience, present in the environment, just enjoying any experience she may be having. So number 18 is to merge the two images of self. And you imagine that Mary out there now starting to move towards you, perhaps even floating towards you, allowing her to come through the plexiglass shield, begin to merge with you, her immune system merging with your immune system, giving your immune system all the correct messages, and they enter right into you. And imagine her immune system telling your immune system so your immune system gets it, and educating your immune system on how to breathe and how your eyes should react, et cetera, et cetera. And what you're doing now is letting them imagine this experience. You're allowing them to merge. And at 19 is creating a visualization of the appropriate responses when they have merged. You have them then imagine themselves in that experience. And 20 is you're just pattering until you see a physiological shift that could be a breath, a sigh, a shiver, anything. And when you see that, you release the anchor. You break the thought pattern. I'm moving fast now because I just saw what time it is, Michael. I'm so sorry. You break the thought pattern.
No problem.
You do a future projection and have them go back and imagine the time at the barbecue, the time at the driving in the fields, the time at the campfire to make sure that everything is okay. I do a little closure where they go in and thank their body and thank their immune system, and then I follow it up with hypnotic suggestion after that, and then I dehypnotize, and what the client takes with them is just the hypnotic suggestion portion. They don't take the process with them. So I am sorry to rush that at the end, but I really apologize for running over time because I just now looked at the clock and thinking it must be about a quarter till, but it wasn't. So anyway,
it's delightful, and I appreciate that you hung in there, and you certainly did rush it at the end. So we've got a few minutes, and I'm more than happy to hang out here with anybody that has some questions. If you don't mind giving us another 10 minutes or so to let people ask questions.
I just didn't want to mess you up.
Oh no, no trouble. I'll stay if you'll stay. So if anybody in a moment, I'm going to open up the line so that people can ask questions. I do want to tell you, Anne, you certainly have embellished this. And like I said, as an NLP person, I learned this technique. Actually, I learned this technique from Robert Dills and Tim and Susie. So it was really kind of cool to hear how it is that you embellished and enhanced it. And I think you've made so much more out of it just by virtue of the time you spent and the mastery that you have brought to it. And another perspective. I don't think it occurred to those folks to include classic hypnosis with it, and I'm so glad that you did, because it just made the process just truly lovely. So well done.
Thank you.
if I do say so myself. So I'm going to open up the lines so that if anybody that's on here has any questions for Anne, it'll take me just a second to do that, so bear with me. Okay, so now here's the deal. We're in what they call Q&A mode on this system, and that means if you have a question, you are muted, by the way, right now, everybody, except for me and Anne. So if you have a question, just press *6 and just let us know that you're there with a question. And then when you've asked your question, if you could press *6 to mute yourself again, that would be helpful.
Hello.
So please. Hi.
Hi. You taking questions now?
Yes.
Yeah,
sure,
this is George. Hi, I just wanted Anne to just embellish a little bit more on working with somebody with an allergy that is life-threatening.
Okay. If you're working with an allergy that's life-threatening, number one, you don't want them after the process to expose themselves to it without getting tested again. And when you're having them recall the symptoms, like that was you that wrote me the question before, right? About,
yes, correct.
Okay, yes, you would want to probably pre-qualify that and say, tell me about your symptoms without experiencing any of them physically. Just think about how you were affected and let me know that. You can also watch your client, and if you think your client is beginning to get very uncomfortable, you can have them just through suggestion dissociate from those and just tell it to you as if they were watching it on a screen or something. So
okay.
I will tell you, I've only dealt with one deadly allergy, and that was wasp. It was a few specific wasps, and the lady didn't know she was allergic. When she was stung, she immediately went into her throat started closing up and you know, having all the anaphylactic symptoms. And was rushed to the hospital and had carried an EpiPen since. And she came in to see me, and we did this process for WASP. And she went back and was tested within the 10 days. And her allergist said, yes, she did still show allergy to WASP. However, it was so mild, there was no need for her to carry her EpiPen. I said, come back in here and let's do another session and get rid of it entirely, and she never did. So I guess that was good enough for her. So.
Oh, very interesting. That is definitely the type of person I was concerned about. I have a person in mind who has eaten salmon in the past, fish, and the throat was closing up. That type
right.
of thing. Can I ask you another question?
Sure.
May I ask another question? Okay. When you said specifics, if somebody is allergic to nuts, Are you saying when I'm specific, does that mean a specific kind of nut or nuts in general? Should I say, let's work on pistachios today?
Most, Yeah, most people that are allergic to nuts are allergic to specific types of nuts, just like if they're allergic to pollen, they're allergic to specific types of pollen, but not all pollen. So you would want to know specifically what they're allergic to. And the way I was taught, you only did one allergy at a time, and if they were allergic to 15 different pollens, it was 15 different sessions. Unless they had done several of them and done good, then you might group related ones. But Michael Elner tells me that that's ridiculous, and there's no reason why you couldn't group them. And I have had feedback from people that have learned the technique from me that tell me they have been able to work with two or three at a time. So,
okay. Well,
you've
thank
just
you very
play
much.
With
yeah.
Okay.
This whole thing was very enlightening. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I love the job. Is there any other questions?
Yes, hi, this is Judy from New Jersey. I have a question for you. Ann, one thing that you had was that maybe ringing in the ears could be a symptom of an allergy. Were you talking about maybe the ringing in the ears, the tinnitus, that might be an allergy?
No, I wasn't talking about tinnitus being an allergy. I was just talking about people have different symptoms, and for some people, they get a little bit of ringing in the ears when they have a reaction. But no, I was not speaking of. They actually changed the pronunciation. They call it tinnitus now instead of tinnitus.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't hear them the first
and
time.
And would
that
your
they pro- called it
would
because,
your process work for tinnitus?
This particular process, I've never even attempted it on tinnitus or tinnitus, which is the word I like better. But I have worked with people that have tinnitus and been successful with it, but I've never used this particular process for it. But, you know, the fun thing about experiment with it. Try it on different things. I mean, I had a friend of mine who cured herself of lupus, and this was one of the things that she used for that. So...
Okay. I may be contacting you for the tinnitus.
All right. Thank you for the question.
Very much.
Ann, can you still hear me? This is George?
Yes. Hi, George.
The pre-talk about the allergies, are you going to share that with us?
Well, I shared it as far as going over it. You know, a part of it is the education of, you know, this is how your immune system works. It's always on guard. You've got the macrophages, helper T cells, and other T cells, and an allergic reaction occurs because your immune system has made a mistake. The other part of the pre-talk is pretty much explaining to them what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to induce hypnosis. I'm going to have you visualize some things. We talk about their ability to visualize and I talk about the fact that I will be reaching out and touching their wrist and, you know, things like that. But it's, you know, that's about it. There's not a whole lot more to it.
Which is you're basically trying to give them a model of the immune system that they can hold on to so that they can be successful. I think that's what I'm...
Right. And when I'm doing that, too, I'm including testimonials, and especially testimonials that are the same type of allergy that they're in with, you know, if it's pollen or something, or if it's smoke, or if it's chemicals or whatever. So, but it's, you know, in my pre-talk, I'm building the expectancy and the belief that it's going to work, and plus I'm telling them a little bit about how the session's going to go. You know, I'm going to induce hypnosis. I'm going to ask you to visualize. I'm going to be talking to you. You'll need to answer me. I'm going to reach out and hold your wrist for a period of time, et cetera, et cetera.
Thank you very much.
By the way, Ann, if you don't mind, I'd just like to add something. With the way that you talked about the immune system, how it works, I think is a really nice presentation of it. And I'm just remembering that the way that I originally heard it, and I think it's another interesting description that's very close to yours and resonates well for some people, is I like to tell people that an allergy is like a phobia of the immune system. You know, that typically the way that phobias work, at least, is we're exposed to something that isn't actually, you know, harmful or dangerous, and yet you know, we have a response as though, you know, as though all hell is breaking loose. Similarly, you know, the immune system has learned that this thing that technically isn't really dangerous to it is in fact toxic, and it begins to have those responses and reactions. And that seems to, you know, that seems to help people understand it as well. And the way that you say it is that you're re-educating, and I think that's exactly right, that it's learned something wrong by virtue of a misunderstanding.
Right, and that is an excellent explanation, and I do remember Hank or Mary Lou, one of them, talking about that, that it being like a phobia. Also, too, what I talk about, the different cells and the little flag that goes up and all that, one of the reasons I do use that is because I've got a printout by the Mayo Clinic that validates that to them. So, you know, it's
nice.
But I like your explanation. That's a great way to explain it.
Okay. Well,
and?
So we can do one more. Yeah, go ahead.
This is Karen Chicago. I thought that was beautiful, Anne, very beautiful, and a nice job. And, Michael, I'd love to have that email address that you have for the replay.
Okay,
you gave
out
your email address earlier, I think.
Okay. Actually, what I need you to do for that is I need you to write me.
Right.
And I'm sorry to do it that way, but I have to create the link. I'm going to put it somewhere so I can send it to you. So if you write me at FLHypno, that's FL for Florida, Hypno for Hypnosis, just FLHypno@outlook.com, and let me know what it is that you want. I can send you the handout as well that has all the steps, if you'd like, and the link
to the handout, I just want to read. I'd love to hear her do it again.
Okay, great. Great.
Thank you, Michael, very much, and Anne, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well then, I think that it's time for us to go. And ma'am, I tell you what, Anne, this time went so quickly because you had such a tremendous technique and so much ground to cover. So I appreciate your pushing through it the way that you did, and I certainly hope that the folks listening were able to get a good experience of it. I love to hear it. I could talk to you about this all night. So, but I'm not going to because I'm getting married in the morning.
Ah, exciting. Well, thank you very much for inviting me, Michael. I apologize for running over. I'm usually very, very good about time. And if there's anybody out there that has more questions or anything and they want to email me, I'm happy to communicate with
them. Okay, and remember, Anne's address then is Anne King, A-N-N-E King, all spelled out at hypnosisclasses.com. So yeah, if you've got some questions, please send them to Anne. I just want to remind you that next month we'll be meeting on August 11th. We will be interviewing or speaking with Roger Moore about specialization in medical hypnosis. And again, thank you thoroughly, Anne, for being here. We really appreciate you. And between now and next time, ladies and gentlemen, and all our friends, in the words that Michael Ellner has taught us, may you live with a happy heart and a playful spirit and a peaceful mind, and we'll be talking to you next month. Good night, everybody.
All right. Good night.